الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لولا ينهاهم الربانيون والأحبار، إلى آخر الآية، صدق الله مولانا العظيم. The duty of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam was always twofold: bashiran wa nadhira, to give glad tidings also and to warn also. And no Nabi's duties are complete until he does not fulfill both aspects. It's not just a matter of giving good news and giving about sawabs and about jannat, but nadhira, warnings also have to be there, and they must go together. And in fact, bashir, nadhiran comes first, the warning, and then the bashiran comes into place. In our kalima, first is la ilaha. Everything else is negated. Everything from the very root, everything is negated. Only then can you find the reality of illallah. When the heart is completely cleaned of all ghairullah, then a person finds the sweetness, the beauty, the enjoyment of illallah. As long as there's any amazish, any little bit trace of ghairullah in the heart, that heart cannot find itminan also completely. It doesn't find enjoyment and pleasure also. So all that has to be taken out. And this is that duty which generally the people don't like. When you warn any person, whoever it can be, you warn your wife of something, that don't do this, don't mix with this people, don't entertain those people, she doesn't like it. Anything, children, anything, the public also. When you tell them good news, all like it. But to warn them, that people don't like. And if you don't warn people, and you only give them like the good news, then you become very popular also, and very accepted, all like you also. But the minute you start warning people, people don't like you. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, till the time he was not a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, the kuffar also loved, respected and honored him so much that the kuffar gave him the titles of As-Sadiq al-Amin, that he is the most truthful, he is the most trustworthy. But as soon as he started giving the da'wat, when Allah commanded him now, call towards the oneness of Allah and warn them of the idol worship, immediately they became their enemies. Years of love and real years of honor they had, they put all that one side. And they became immediately his worst enemies. Today we unfortunately say that we have such a relationship with this person, with these people for so long. Now we can't give up that. For the truth, we can't give up that relationship. But the kuffar gave up their wrong relationship, their relationship of so many years, their conviction of so many years, immediately, not overnight, immediately they gave it up because they did not want to give up the falsehood they were on. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. And this in this ayat-e kareema, Allah Ta'ala says that complaining about the ulama and the mashayikh of the Bani Israel, of the people of Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, the people of the scriptures of before, that lo la yanhahumur rabbaniyun, they are Allah wala, rabbani people, who are Allah wala, the mashayikh, wal ahbar, and the ulama, why didn't they stop them from the wrong? It was their duty to stop them from the wrong. So this is, and Allah Ta'ala has mentioned this in the Quran Sharif. And today we have enough ulama who will easily say immediately, but this refers to the Bani Israel. It's not referring to us. Allah is referring to Bani Israel. So the question then is, why did Allah put it in the Quran Sharif? It should have been in the Torah, in the Injil. Why is it in the Quran Sharif? And no Jew, Christian really reads the Quran. Only to find fault they will study the Quran. Very few to seek the truth, they are, mashallah, to seek the truth they will read the Quran. But by and large, the Jews and Christians are not going to read the Quran. The Muslims are going to, or rather supposed to, read the Quran. At that juncture, we can ask ourselves now, today one day has passed, did I read my Quran Sharif? How lot I'm supposed to read? Every person is supposed to read daily Quran Sharif. وَتِلَاوَةِ الْقُرْآنِ لَا تَدَعْهُ عَلَىٰ أَيْ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ حَالٍ. Never ever give up the reading of the Quran Sharif. So, did I read my Quran Sharif, my portion? And we are somewhere in the middle of the past Ramzan and the coming Ramzan. So, and the least right of the Quran Sharif is to recite it once in Ramadan to make khatam. That is the bare minimum. And once in the whole year. Now, in the whole year, my one reading, am I somewhere around 15, 16, 17 supara, so that I can finish before Ramzan? Each one ask ourselves. And for a hafiz, we should be reading 3 suparas, which is the general advice of the mashayikh. Person should read more also, but 3 at least. And for the ordinary who is not a hafiz, at least 1 supara a day, 1 khatam every month. But the very least, other beyond that, the Quran will lay its charge against us in the court of Allah. And there is nobody who will be able to fight our case if that charge of the Quran is put on us. And if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam lays a charge against us about the Quran Sharif, which comes in the Quran Sharif, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. They divorced themselves, they ignored the Quran, like the Quran doesn't exist. They carried on in a way like that. So was Quran in my life today? Did I read my Quran? This is not our surahs, Yasin, Tabarak al-Ladhi, etc. But tilawat from Alif Lam till Qul A'udhu bi Rabbin Nas. Did I read? And for man, at least the minimum, 3 pages a day we should read. For women, and those women who are still young and who have their monthlies, they should read at least 4 pages. Because up to 10 days in the month, they cannot read Quran Sharif. So for them to cover up, 4.5, 5 pages they should read. So who of us are doing that? So that is the right of the Quran Sharif. So anyway, so the Quran Sharif, we should be reading the Quran Sharif, and then we take heed of what is written in the Quran Sharif. Very, very sadly, we find ourselves generally that for everything we do, we pay full attention to it. And we do it with heart and soul. Like, for example, a person is eating. When we're sitting on the dastarkhan, there are those people, they will one glance and they'll see everything what's on the dastarkhan. And they have made their niyat, I'm not missing out anything. And not a taste of everything, but a whole dish full of everything. So we sit and eat with concentration. So much our concentration is on the food that very few, even what we call righteous, pious people, even read Bismillah. We just start eating. And in between, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr is unheard of. At the end, dua is unheard of. But everything what is on the table, I cannot miss out. So our heart and soul is in the eating. When we are in our business, heart and soul is in business. A person is driving, he's not unmindful of his driving. He's fully aware. Everything. He watches all the robots, the stop streets, every traffic around him, everything is aware. When he goes to toilet also, he doesn't just go just to sit there. He's going for a purpose. And even sometimes you have constipation, you have to force yourself. He'll do all that also properly. But very, very, very sadly, we who regard ourselves as pious, righteous, the only place where we don't apply our mind and soul at all is in namaz. The whole namaz, we don't think I'm in namaz. And for everything else, if a person is making love to his wife, he's fully engaged in that. His full thoughts, everything are in that. Everything, he becomes more intimate, he's fully aware of what he's doing. But for namaz, nothing, no thought of Allah Ta'ala. So what is our condition? When we're making tilawat also, no thought of what we are reading. We're just reading the words, and these are now those who are pious, who are reading every day Quran. but no thought of what I'm reading. So that is our condition. For our deen, for the, and namaz is the greatest greatest ibadat. After iman, namaz is the greatest ibadat. That's our condition. And after our faraiz, then in our other ibadat, namaz, tilawat of Quran, and durood on Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam are two great, great ibadats. But we don't do them. If we do them with no like concentration, no thought in them at all, and we should be actually immersed, absorbed totally in the thoughts of Allah in namaz, in the thoughts of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam when we are reading durood sharif. One great virtue we came across of durood sharif also, that on the day of Qiyamah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will address some people by their names. They will be shocked that my Nabi knows my name. I wasn't even born in his time. I came 1,000 years after him, 1,500 years after. But he knows my name. They will ask him, "Oh my Nabi, how do you know my name?" If somebody meets you first time and he addresses you by your name, and he shows love and kindness to you, and this is the love and kindness of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Your durood sharif should come so much in abundance to me. Your name was taken so much by me that I know you now." If we send a present to somebody, we haven't met that person, and we're sending presents and presents and presents, and the day, and he asks, "Who is this person?" And the day we meet him, they say, "He's come today." There is he. How you'll go and meet him with how much of muhabbat? So durood sharif is a great present in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And our name is taken, our parents, fathers will be surprised. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will take their names. That your son used to read, and the son's father's name will also. Your daughter used to read, and the father's name was taken. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by the barakat of durood sharif, will even know our father's names. So Allah give us tawfiq to read. So anyway, that devotion which is required. So this is what Allah ta'ala wants from us. That we read the Quran sharif and obey the commands. And again, why are we reading Quran? To obey the Quran sharif. Not only as a sawab, and I've read Quran, and I've even studied it, and I've understood the meaning, and now it's finished out of my life. Half an hour I read Quran, the whole day now I'm free to do what I want to. No, the Quran, the object of reading it is to practice on it. That is the object of reading it. And there is absolutely no doubt, anyone of the many ways of tazkiyatun nafs, of obeying the commands of Allah, staying away from haram, of the many ways Allah has given us, one is tilawat al-Quran. Quran Sharif is such a kitab, who will read it regularly, he will see the commands of Allah will start coming in his life automatically. Hatred of guna, and all this what we are saying, we are confused about this, we don't know who to follow. By tilawat of Quran, barakat of Quran Sharif's tilawat, we will have full conviction. We'll have no doubts whatsoever. Allah will make our path so clear, so clear. So Quran Sharif tilawat. In there then, in that Quran, Allah says, لَوْلَا يَنْهَاهُمُ الرَّبَّانِيُّونَ وَالْأَحْبَارِ And قَوْلِهُ the further what that the ahbar, the mashayikh, and the ulama, their duty is to warn people. First is to warn them. Today, unfortunately, we also still that old disease, which is from pre-Islamic times, that when anyone tells us, especially the ulama, tell us the right things, the things of haq, we don't want to hear. Many such people, even mutawallis say, prominent people in the town, we know what is the truth, but don't speak about it. We want peace in our town. We want to just sweep everything under the carpet. All the dirt, everything, sweep it under the carpet. There are snakes also in the house. There are scorpions. Just sweep them under the carpet. Hide them away. Don't talk about them. You talk about them, then we all get uneasy. We become, we don't. So these are the things that we have to. And it isn't only here about the Quran Sharif. Many, many places have commanded and have warned against not speaking out the truth. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ that those people who conceal, yaktumuna, who conceal what we have revealed of bayyinat, bayyinat, clear, clear signs, bayyinat, which you must make clear. It mustn't just be a clear sign, but you must make it and make it clear that what is the wrong. That Allah Ta'ala then explains that from those people, the curses of Allah Ta'ala. Then further on, Allah Ta'ala goes that if their whole lives they don't speak out the truth, then and they die in that state, Allah says they die in the state of kufr. That is now, according the Mufassirin have explained, the various degrees and levels of kufr. But the explicitly the Quran Sharif says, for these people, alayhim, la'natullah, wan-nas, la'natullahi wal-malaikati, wan-nasi, ajma'in. The curses of Allah, is that not enough? Plus the curses of the malaika, is that not enough? The curses of all of mankind, not only the Muslims. It comes in the Hadith Sharif, help your brother whether he is a zalim or a mazloom. Zalim, a person who is a wrongdoer. Mazloom, the one who has been wronged. Or zalim, the wrongdoer. And the mazloom, the one that is who or the wrong has been done to him, or who is doing the wrong. So help him. The Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, Allah reward them tremendously. They said, oh Allah's Rasul, we understand that you must help the mazloom, the one who is oppressed. But help him, the people are wronging him, his boss is not paying him full, his landlord is making zulam on him, whatever, help him. But the one who is being wronged, that we, the one who is doing wrong, how must we help him? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by stopping him from doing his wrong. That help, that is you helping him. So Muslims are those people who are to help all the people. We are here to help the kuffar also. Not in their wrong, stopping them from their wrong. The ulama are responsible to stop the people from the wrong. That is their great help to the people. Those who are doing doing the wrong, you stop them from that, it is understood. But those who are being wronged, so everyone, we must help them, support them, and stop the people from their wrongdoing. That is also a great support. So in many, many ayat and hadith, this command is given. But unfortunately, by and large, not only the ulama, but the public also, there are many people who know what is the right and the wrong, but don't cause a commotion. Don't speak about it. Keep the peace. Don't upset the apple cart. In our town, we, for example, we host both jamaats from Nizamuddin side also and from Shura side also. So just let it carry on like this, a peaceful way. In our town, we eat good meat also, halal and tayyiban, and we eat some feces also with it. And all are happy with it. So don't stop anyone from eating feces. Let them all just eat. Let them all be happy. In our town, we drink zamzam also. We drink urine also. So don't tell the people to stop drinking urine. Just tell them to carry on as they are. Help carry on. Let the, just like the happy family just carrying on doing their things. All the wrong things also, all the right things also they are doing. So it doesn't work like that at all. We are here, we are responsible. And especially the ulama and the hadith makes, and the Quran makes it clear. Not only the ulama, but ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O believers, qu anfusakum, yourself, wa ahlikum, and your family. How many places where it is, وَأَنْذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, warn your close family people. That is also our duty, to warn the whole of mankind. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ, you are the best of nations. أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ, and you have been taken out, not for your benefit, not for making your dunya, not for living it up in the world, not for following the lifestyle of the kuffar, but you have been taken out linnas, for the benefit of people. And the benefit of people, that we all live our lives how our Maker Allah wants us to live. And we stay away from those things which our Maker has told us to stay away from. You use a gadget, electrical gadget, And they tell you, or even you know it yourself, when it's plugged in with the current, etc., you can't immerse that, put that gadget in water with electrical current going through it, and you put it in water. What's going to happen? So all those things, the harms also Allah has pointed out very, very clearly. And the good things that we have to do, Allah has pointed out them very clearly. And now who knows this? This is that bayyinat which Allah has revealed. They are clear and they are for bayyinat, to make it known to the people. But if the people who know it, they keep quiet about it. They conceal it. They don't tell the people. The government has made some law, some new law, and then it has got its channels to make it known to the public. But those channels don't make it known to the public. And now the public go opposite to that law because they don't know. So who is responsible? Those who were supposed to make the public known of the new law. So Allah has used the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam firstly, foremostly, directly. And then the ulama have been called Warathatul Anbiya, the inheritors of the Anbiya. So their duty is to do the duty of the Anbiya, that they must also make it known. And it isn't sufficient. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahib Kandelvi Rahmatullah Ali, he used to say that this work of Dawat is Kashti and Noor, the ship of Noor alayhi salam. Who will board it will get saved, and who will not board it, they will get drowned in the floods that will come. So on one occasion, he mentioned this in the Markaz Nizamuddin, and Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali of Hardoi, they were friends, they studied together. They were in the same class also. So after that, they met, and as old friends, all young days they were friends all the time. So Maulana Abrarul Hatsab Rahmatullah Ali said that we are drowned. We are not on the work of the Dawat and Tabligh, on the Kashti of Noor. We are teaching Quran every day, whole day, teaching Quran, teaching Madrasa. We are not in Tabligh and Dawat, so we are drowned. So Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali understood his error. And then he said after that, Deen is the Kashti and Noor. Not only the work of Dawat, the whole of Deen. So anyone engaged in the work of Deen, he will get saved. But yeah, in this world, the system of Allah, seeing all the other ayats and the ahadith, that those people who are righteous and pious, and they don't stop other people. And many ulama are also in that category. There are stern warnings for them also on the day of Qiyamah. And in this world, when Allah's punishment comes, then they get involved in that punishment also. On the day of Qiyamah, they will be separated. But those people, وَكَذَلِكَ أَخْذُ رَبِّكَ أَخْذُ رَبِّكَ إِذَا أَخْذَ الْقُرَى وَهِيَ ظَالِمَةٌ. After explaining in Surah Hud, from Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam till Musa alayhi salam, all the great nations that came, powerful, mighty nations, how Qawme Aad, Qawme Thamud, what powerful people they were, what their technology was at that time. They carved out their homes in mountains, and what luxurious lives they lived. But when they disobeyed Allah, how Allah's punishments came. So then Allah says, all this, in this way we take people to task. Like presently, all the storms in America, in the two main centers from where they were attacking, aiding Israel in attacking the Palestinians, those places, and this is still nothing compared to what came that time. And now also, if Allah wishes, He can even give more worse punishment to these people also. So all this, so Allah says, we take those people to task. And when the qawm is zalima, disobedient to Allah Ta'ala, and there are no people or too few people to warn them against the transgression of Allah. In other words, there are pious people. Just like those people who are on the seashore and they should do their fishing, and on a Saturday they should get lot of fish. But Allah as a test made a law that Saturday you cannot fish. Then they trapped the fish in different ways, Mufassirin explained, and they took them out on Sunday. They just played a fool, na'uzubillah, with Allah. Allah's object was that the fish of Saturday must not be fished. But they made a trick, and they said, we are fishing it on a Sunday, not on a Saturday. So it is permissible. Then when Allah's punishment came, the people got divided in various groups. There was that one group, the exclusive group, who did not do wrong. They did not fish on a Saturday. And they stopped the other people also. Then there was that group that broke the law of Allah and fished on a Saturday. Then there was another group that did not fish on the Saturday. But they did not stop these people also. They carried on eating, drinking with them, mixing with them. When Allah's punishment came, they were taken in that punishment also. And their punishment was that they were changed into the form of swine and monkeys, apes. Allah changed them. And those people who stopped them, those were the only ones who got saved. Also we read in the hadith of the instance where there was a community who was transgressing and breaking the laws of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Then Allah ta'ala sent his punishment. And Allah is aware and knowledgeable of everything even before it happens. So when Jibreel alayhi salam came, he found one very pious person who did not disobey Allah to the extent of the wink of an eye also. So he went back to Allah. Allah knows everything. He said, Ya Allah, you send me with this punishment for this people. But yes, this great buzurg, not to the wink of an eye did he disobey you. Allah says, my disobedience was carrying him around him, all around him. And never did he get a frown on his forehead also. He didn't worry about it. Start my punishment with him. Give him first the punishment and then the other. So therefore, it is a duty when we see wrong, kullukum ra'in, each of you, man ra'a minkum munkaran, whoever sees the wrong done, if you are engaged in other thing, if you see wrong being done, then fal yughayyirhu biyadi, then stop it by the power of your hand. And that is when there is full Islamic government, Khilafat, Khilafat-e-Islami is in force, and the wrong is not tolerated in the least, but so much so, in such a environment, a person who doesn't make namaz is put in jail until he starts making his namaz. All the laws of Islam, that is when there is a proper Islamic government. If that not, then change it with your tongue. And that is not to just criticize and condemn it, but to speak in such a way to wean the person over. How to get it? When Allah sent Musa alayhi salam with his brother Harun to Fir'aun, Allah said, قُولَا لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. Let's speak to him and speak softly to him. لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرَ أَوْ يَخْشَى. So that he can think of his matters. Or he will get fear. Don't speak in such a way you condemn and you chase the person further away. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Panandpuri Rahmatullah Ali says, you find people who are only making, for example, Jummah namaz. Now one, you can condemn them that all the other whole week's namazes, 35 namazes, you're only making one namaz. What about the 34? You know, speak to them such a way that tell them, mashallah, you are making Jummah. But there are a lot of, and the barakat you're getting of Jummah namaz, how lot of barakat. So if you make all your adhan, how much more barakat you'll get. So how to bring them closer, not just to tell them you are doing wrong, not just to notify them, but work in a way to wean them over. That is what we are commanded to do. And if you can't do it with your tongue, then do it with your heart. Make dua for them. You use your heart to plan ways how I can get these people to obey the commands of Allah. Because that is what we want. We don't just want to condemn something. We want the good. That is a true servant of Allah. That he wants the laws of Allah in everyone's life. And these are those people that if the people still don't listen after all the effort and they are still doing their wrong, they make istighfar on their behalf. They make istighfar on their behalf. Ya Allah, forgive them. Your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Taif, when his, how his ummah, always ummah, how they treated Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His shoes didn't come out of his feet. When the blood, it got stuck to his feet. But then the farishta was appointed over the mountain, said, I'm here and I'll crush these people. Just give me the permission. By Allah's command, I have come and I can crush them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, leave them. Perhaps their progeny, where they are people who don't know. For may Allah will forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Such a serious crime against the person who's trying to do utmost good. All good for them. And this is how they are treating him. So that must be the attitude that we should have. So Allah tabaruk wa ta'ala, when we see wrong, it is our duty, everyone, according to his status. If he's an alim, and according to the status of his, what Allah has given him. If more people listen to him, he has to convey the right message to all those people. If you are just the imam of your masjid, tell your masjid people. If you are just, you are not an imam, but you got some friends, people, how you can, your way, in your gatherings, convey the message, not just to keep quiet. Somebody explained of one alim that he's very popular and very liked by everyone. Because they say when he comes, he starts speaking about sports. And today not only youngsters, all like sports. He starts speaking about politics. He starts speaking about fashion and the latest trends and about the Western lifestyle. About all cars you start speaking. So all will like you for that. But to be liked for that, you are not liked by Allah. You are not liked by Allah's Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when the people who speak the truth, the Quran Sharif says, وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَهْدَهُ شْمَعَزَّتْ قُلُوبُ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ. That when you speak of Allah alone, you're speaking of the Qudrat of Allah, the commands of Allah, then those people who haven't got Iman in Akhirat, they become parishan. They can't tolerate it. They can't take it now. What's this person going on now? Bayan, 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 coming out of my ears, coming out of my eyes, of my mouth, nose. Just bayan coming all the time. They can't take it. And they feel awkward. That why it's... And وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ الَّذِينَ مِن دُونِهِ. When you just start talking of anything else besides Allah, you start talking about the weather, all got comments also. It's hot, a hot day. Now you say it's hot, always very hot. Everyone knows it's hot. But now we will add to that. It's very cold, yeah, very cold, all will add to it. They watching a soccer match, a goal is scored. The referee has whistled also, goal is scored. All are jumping and dancing, like going like hooligans, goal, goal. Everyone knows it's a goal. But if Quran Sharif is read, it is like you're reading in a Qabristan. Yeah. Somebody reading so beautiful Quran Sharif, like all everyone's head is just down. Perhaps inshallah they are all in deep muraqabah and thinking deeply of the meaning of the Quran Sharif. So they haven't got no smile on their face, you don't see happiness on their face or anything. But there, if a wicket is taken on, or a six is hit, all shouting six, and all could see it's a six. But all shouting for that. But for deen, then, وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ الَّذِينَ مِن دُونِهِ إِذَا هُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ. Suddenly you see that how they are brightened, and we must consider our own condition also. For example, we go home after Isha, we have some reading to do, some our wazifas to complete, feeling very sleepy. Now there on the phone, one message came, you went on one site, and then for 2 hours you bright awake. For all the wrong things, you are bright awake. But for your zikr, for your wazifas, for your night duas, you are feeling very sleepy. And somebody explained this very beautifully, that when you are talking about Allah, all are not interested. They don't show any interest. And when you're talking, and you see now the person has overstayed, you have got other work to do, and you've got other important things to do, but he's not going, he's just staying all the time. Just start talking about deen. And immediately you'll see, look at his watch. And he'll tell you, I had an appointment with so-and-so. I'll see you next time again. Or if he still doesn't get the message and he still just make his tashkir and then say 100%, he says, I've got this work, I have to meet that person, I have to go there. So we must, Quran has said this is for those people who don't believe in Allah. La yu'minuna bil akhirah. For those people who don't believe in akhirah, that is their condition. See whether it fits on me. And if it fits on me, I can't sleep until I don't correct myself. If you got guarantee you're going to die after 10 years, then do what you want to for 10 years. And before you die, make tawbah. If you haven't got that guarantee, you have to do it immediately and we have to correct ourselves. So, it is our duty to speak about all the wrong that happens. The ijtima, which is going to take place in Camperdown this weekend, where we know, and so many things are coming more to light, which we had no idea about. Ulama of India, various ulama, alhamdulillah, Allah opened the way, and the discussions that we heard of there, that for some time ago, Maulana Saad is not one or two of the wrong things, over 157, one alim mentioned. One alim between 150 and 200 wrong things that he's mentioning. And an ongoing way. He's not stopping anywhere. Till this very moment, it is an ongoing thing. So with this wrong that is happening, if a wrong was happening in our country, a big, like Allah make maaf, what is happening in Saudi, all this music concerts and all the other filthy things, some musician, and what is the music? Ayats of the Quran. What terrible things. Where have we read? And so all these things, if that happens, we can't support it in any way whatsoever. And if it was some nudity show, you can't support it. This is worse than that also, where the honor of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam is attacked, the honor of the Sahaba, the honor of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and not one, two times, over and over again, and no tawbah, which is can't be called tawbah in any way. That is happening all the time. And then somebody says that encourages the people that it's a dini ijtima, so all must go. And what is the criteria of all must go? That people from 150 countries will be coming. And the organizers of the ijtima, they also said originally 150, they have downgraded it to 100 countries. So anyway, that is no criteria of attending. That all the 200 countries of the world's people, if they are also coming and the heads of states are coming, that is our reason of doing anything. First is Quran Sharif, otherwise Hadith Sharif, otherwise consensus of the ulama, of the righteous, pious ulama, their consensus, otherwise by analogy, by comparison with similar cases. Those are the four. So by 150 countries people coming is no proof and is no reason to attend. And neither is it that it is being a historical event. That is also, if that occasion is of deen and the talks of deen, but today it is not really of deen, but to establish the imarat, what they call Amirul Mu'mineen fil Alam, the Amirul Mu'mineen in the world, to establish his imarat for that reason. And just today now, one brother of Camperdown also had written that the Jamaat are coming and how the local people, Camperdown is a very small place, very small Muslim community, how they are taxed to feed the people. Unhappily, they are like forced to do it. So all that complaints of those people and what the conditions are. So those are no reasons whatsoever. Then we find some people, they feel still that this is a power struggle between the shura and the imarat group. So the very names of shura and imarat proves that there is no power struggle. Imarat group wants imarat. That Maulana Saad, he claims that he is the Amir and his people support him. And on the other side, the Shura people are not claiming Imarat at all. They haven't made any indication in the least what, but that they want to become Amir. But in fact, the opposite, they insist, must run by Shura. And in Shura, you don't claim Amir, you don't claim you're an Amir. So there is nothing, just people who just want to mislead the people or whatever, they say it is a power struggle. There is no power struggle. Power struggle was like in the difference the ulama had in Darul Uloom Deoband, that which group must run the affairs of Darul Uloom, or Mazahirul Uloom in Saharanpur. Here there is no power struggle. So that is completely wrong. Another thing they say, that only the ulama of South Africa are opposed to Maulana Saad. Otherwise the rest of the world are with him. There can't be a more bigger lie than that. And totally, which is clear, it is absolutely nothing like that. For outside India, Bangladesh was a strong supporter. But the ulama, Allah reward them, he took a very strong stand when he was going to come at one time, and they knew all his wrongs and what he's promoting. They made a human barricade. They held their arms all that he can't come out from the airport. And he was just then escorted through some private way to a small masjid. From that he was sent back to India. And now he's not allowed to enter Bangladesh. Malaysia allowed him also to come. He had a strong hold. Malaysian Jamaat, they send a special fatwa, istifta, to Darul Uloom Deoband. Darul Uloom Deoband had closed the subject. They say we are too much, our work is not only to answer questions of Nizamuddin all the time. We have got a lot of other work also. So, and this is a closed chapter. We have clearly stated what is the status of Maulana Saad. We don't have to repeat over and over. But the Malaysian government asked them for a concession and give us a clear cut what is his status. And they gave it to him. So he's not allowed to go there also. Looks like they want to make their peace now in South Africa. And we must be careful and on our guard. If it's a place of goodness, of a deen, then by all means we are heart and soul with it, our lives for it. But for all the wrong, terrible things, which you cannot imagine what wrong things Maulana Saad is speaking about, it is absolutely no way that even a sinful Muslim can support this. A rightful Muslim is out of the question, but a person who is also far from his deen, he also, there is no question of him supporting all this wrong. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi, one of his murids told him what a sad condition of that person who sells his akhirat for dunya's sake. For example, you take interest, you live on interest, you are destroying your akhirat, but dunya you are living it up. You are enjoying in dunya, you are all with the interest and that. And then Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi told him, worse than that person is that person who sells his akhirat for other people's dunya, not for his dunya, for other people's dunya. For example, you make interest halal. And now, other people are going to take things on interest and make money on interest, and you destroying your akhirat for other people's dunya. That's even worse. You destroy your own akhirat for your dunya is terrible. And worse than that is you destroy your akhirat for other people's dunya, just to make them happy. And in all these things, whether it is this halal organization, and where they certify the animals or the birds, the chicken as halal, they get a huge sum of money from the companies. For them it's a huge sum of money. For the company it's insignificant. How much on your certificate they making money? If they are making 100,000, they are giving you 1,000. You thinking I'm getting a lot of money, but they what they are making on the strength of that certificate of yours. You legalize interest, and how much money they making on interest from everyone now, all the Muslim people, that your Mufti has given permission, that interest, just call it dividends, call it profits, and now it is halal. So they'll give you a big, big amount. For you, it's a big amount. What they are giving you is paltry. It's nothing, not even like salt in the food. Nothing what they are making out of you. That shows our stupidity, how we are being used. And we're destroying our akhirat for the kuffar's dunya. not only for other Muslim people's dunya, for the kuffar's dunya, we destroying our akhirah. So Allah Ta'ala give us guidance and understanding. And this is a duty, and the ulama of India, Allah reward them. Allah forgive me also. I thought they are silent on many things, but now that we got many conversations, clips of theirs, we see, mashallah, they are very strong and they are standing for the truth. And how beautifully they have explained all these matters. For example, one person who looks, and he is, inshallah, a sincere person. He found one mufti sahab and asked him about Maulana Saad, his imarat, etc. And how beautifully he cross-examined him, and whatever he told in there, he gave the answer to himself. For example, he said that the Amir of the Jamaat, and he compared it to the Amir of the Jamaat of the Sahaba who should go out for jihad. Then Maulana asked him that was how long ago was that? 1400 years ago, 1200, 1300 years ago, the time of the Sahaba going out in jihad. And how old is your work of tabligh? 100 years. So you gave your own answer now. That Amir of the Jamaat that went for jihad, and the Amir of this work which started in this century, how can you equate this Amir with that Amir? You have given your own answer. In that way, many things, he made it very, very clear, and there are many such clips. And alhamdulillah, it has added to our conviction even much more. All these, many other discussions also, which make it very, very openly, abundantly clear that Maulana Saad and his group are totally in the wrong path. One other objection also people have, that there are so many ulama on his side. So they can't be wrong. The beautiful answer they gave, Qadiani has so many ulama on his side. So does that make Qadiani right? Maududi had so many ulama on his side. That way, Shias have got so much ulama. And in fact, our some ulama advise us, don't simply go into a debate with the Shias. The ilm of mantiq and logic, they are very strong. And unless you are a strong alim, then you can debate with them. Otherwise, they've got their points so strong, it's not easy for everyone to debate with them. So they, not that they've got big ulama on their side, they are big ulama themselves. But hidayat is not in ilm also. Hidayat is not in amal also. Hidayat is solely in the hands of Allah. And when Allah wants to make an exam paper difficult, then Allah will put such big ulama on their side also. And the ulama of the world, they are laughing at such of the ulama, some ulama who are giving advice that you must attend the ijtima there, in spite of some Maulana Saad saying wrong things. They say, how can a person say such a thing? And they had a big laugh that he says he's Shaykhul Hadith. They say, what kind of Shaykhul Hadith? Which madrasa and which students is your Shaykhul Hadith who's saying that even if the person is saying wrong things, you must go and listen to him. And and in that is admission that your Amirul Mu'mineen fil Adam is saying wrong things. A person who is saying wrong things can't be a Amir. A slip of the tongue is something else. And something what you are saying, and you repent for it, and you repeat it, and you repent, and you repeat, and you keep on, and you adding more wrong things. So where can that be ever? And all this also is, this is the normal trend, that Maulana Saad will say something which is totally horrendous, right through against deen in every aspect. Then the people, the public, make a big uproar. What is this that is being said? And the ulama, then they ask the muftis tell them it's wrong what all these things are. It is against deen, against Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat. In fact, it is a Jamaat of Dal, who are gone astray. And they are mudil, they are leading other people astray. So it's very dangerous, and it's compulsory to oppose them. In every possible way, you should oppose them. So when Maulana Saad says these things, and then an outcry from the public, from the ulama. Then his henchmen, people who are with him, they do damage control. And now they make it, they beautify it. They made it, what's a beautiful word in Urdu? That they, you beautify something? No, in Urdu, the one beautiful word. In other, in any way, now they take out all things. Like, for example, Manana Sahad said that a prostitute's income is better than an alim's income who teaches deen. And Hazrat Abu Bakr took income. When Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu stopped him, you can't go and do your business. You have to see to the affairs of the... Then they fixed the amount from Baitul Mal for Hazrat Abu Bakr. Hazrat Umar took, everyone took. And now to say that for the work of deen, to take a remuneration is worse than the money that a prostitute takes for her, na'uzu billah, dirty services, that she will enter Jannat first. Now, things like this. Now, how how the damage control and that beautiful word in Urdu, that how they beautify the whole thing now. What they say that actually he meant, he said something and the people understood what they understood. And then now they say actually what he meant is give the ulama of your pure money. And don't give them as a wage, give them as hadiah. He never said all those things. Now they say this is what he meant. So he says one thing, people understood what he said, and they say this is now what he meant. This is just like in a house with husband and wife, you tell your wife something, and then when she gets angry, you say, but I meant this. So you must say what you mean. Don't say something else and mean something else. Sometimes you accuse her of bad things, and she feels bad, and you say, then I was just joking. Is that called a joke? That we don't even know what is a joke. You accuse a chaste woman of haram, and then you say, I was joking. So all this type of thing. So all the wrong that Maulana Saad is saying, and all this wrong advice people are giving, that it's a historical event, that is not one of the four Adilla Sharia, that any event that is historical event, all must support it. And for our country, it's a historical event. No, and it's totally against deen, against speaking, against the Anbiya, against the Sahaba, against the Awliya, against the Ulama, all these wrong things. It can be what historical event. We have to see whether it is according to deen or not. And it is everyone's duty that wherever and how much we have got access to make people inform people about this so that people can know. And finally, result is in the hands of Allah. There are those Anbiya who work their whole life and not one follower they had. Noah alayhi salatu wasalam had a following of about 80 people. But there were those ulama, not one follower. But doesn't mean that a Nabi was unsuccessful. He did his work, he was 100% successful. So unsuccessful were those people who did not listen, who did not respond correctly. Yeah, also now, those ulama who do their work, and in their means and capacity, those individuals who will do their work, they will be successful. And those who don't do their work, they will be unsuccessful. And those who don't listen and respond, they will be unsuccessful. On the day of Qiyamah, it's a riwayat of Durre Mansur by Allama Suyuti Rahmatullah Ali. A person will come who made so much ibadat. Allah will say, all that ibadat you did for yourself, you enjoyed yourself, your ibadat. And Allah will say, what about my right? He will ask, oh Allah, what was your right? Allah Ta'ala will say that you loved somebody for my sake, and that you hated somebody for my sake. And then we have to see whether we have loved somebody only for Allah's sake. We love our lives, our wives, but that is seldom for Allah's sake. It is for our own, our feelings, our desires. Which our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, when your wife is young, you love her a lot and you do a lot for her. Now when she's old, and especially if she has lost her shape also, and she has lost her looks also, now do you show any love to her? Now show love to her for Allah's sake. Allah gave her to you in marriage, now show love to her for Allah's sake. So for Allah's sake to love somebody, and for Allah's sake to hate somebody. And this we have to think, is there anyone in my life that I've hated, not because he fought with me, because he stole my money, or he did this wrong, but because of Allah's sake. Have we hated somebody? And those who haven't hated for Allah's sake, they will be deprived of the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. So it is that we have to love for Allah's sake. People say you must have peace at all costs. And look at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When we look at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we see that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not make any peace accord with the Quraysh with regard to idol worship. But he took a very strong end. And he said, you put the sun in my right hand, the moon in my right hand, I won't stop at my vision. Those people who called him As-Sadiq and Al-Amin, they became his arch enemies. He tolerated all that. They forced him out of Makkah by the pressure they put. He went away from Makkah, he went to Medina Sharif. And those people, who then Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, not only did he, what we call, he was a man of peace and tolerance, but he made jihad. And jihad right to the end of his life. And he left jihad a living thing in the ummah. Al-jihadu ma'vin ila yawmil qiyamah. Jihad will carry on till the day. So the lovers of Allah will fight for Allah, will give their lives for Allah. Even if they have to, they will take lives for Allah. That is the true lover of Allah, who loves for Allah's sake. But there we must see, it must be for Allah, not for our nafs, not our desires. And we must not have contentment on ourselves that I'm all right and I'm on the right. We don't know. Allah says so beautiful, Qul, say to the people, Kullu mutarabbisun, all are waiting. Fatarabbasu, all wait. Fasata'alamuna man ashabu sirati sawi wa mani hittada. We all will know who was on the right path and who was on the wrong path on the day of Qiyamah. So then we will know for 100%. Yeah, according to our understanding which Allah gave us, we see Quran and Hadith, we see our aslaf and our akabir, we follow in that way with full conviction. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah's Nabi, Jibreel alayhi salam came to him. He made Mi'raj, the only one in Allah's creation to meet Allah. Jibreel alayhi salam couldn't go. Musa alayhi salam was only Kalimullah. But when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went and Qaba Qawsain, how close to Allah Ta'ala, he says, Ma adri ma yuf'alu bi. I don't know what will Allah do with me on the day of Qiyamah. And I have Nabi, complete conviction, no doubt in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. 100% he is the most beloved of Allah. Hisab kitab will start on the day of Qiyamah by the barakat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ambi alayhi salatu wasalam will be lost. Idhab ila ghairi. Nafsi, nafsi, idhab ila ghairi. I'm worried of myself. Go to somewhere. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam will sort out the problem for the people. But that humbleness, which is necessary, no matter how much you're on haq also, but still be humble. Don't be audacious. Don't be proud. And don't make big claims. Allah knows. So whatever we have been given, clearly we follow that. We stand for that. We will die for that also. But we don't have that proud attitude. That ana wala ghairi. I know everything. That humbleness is very important also. May Allah give us all tawfiq. Okay, guide the ummah. Guide Maulana Saad. All his followers, Allah guide them. If they come onto guidance, we will be the first to embrace them. And we will be the first to make their khidmat and be in their service. But it is on the book of Allah, on the deen of Allah, when they come onto righteousness, not for anything else, then we are the most distant from them. And we keep away completely. May Allah guide us all, the whole ummah, to righteousness.